Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks in New York City, Arlington County, Virginia, and that field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And I would guess that many of you have been watching or listening to or reading accounts and reflections of that day. One that I found particularly poignant was an interview with a retired New York City firefighter, Niels Jorgensen, in which he shared what it was like to be there that day. As I listened to him describe what he saw and what he had done, I was a little surprised by the emotions and the memories that it triggered in me. There are parts of that day, even though it was 20 years ago, that I remember vividly. Suzanne and I were living in Kodiak. It was the same week that I started working at the Kodiak Bible Chapel. A lot of time has passed since then. But that event was a turning point for our nation, a defining moment in our society's lived experience. Many things changed in our country because of what happened that day. And many words have been written about this by people who are certainly more insightful and more articulate than I am, and so I'm not going to try to add to them this morning. But I do think about the people who are less than 20 years old, people like my kids. And I wonder about their perspective of 9/11. I mean, they know about 9/11, but they don't remember it. Their lives have been shaped by 9/11, but they never felt the change. They've been impacted by this event, but they don't have the emotional connection to it that many of us do. And they're not going to, except to the extent that we would make the effort to communicate to them about it. And this got me thinking about our new sermon series that we're going to begin today. A new series on the New Testament book of Romans. Now, this book, it's really a letter written by a man named Paul to the church that was located in the city of Rome. Written in part because of an event that happened in his lifetime. An event that changed everything. An event that Paul wanted to make sure everyone was able to understand. Now, when I say that Paul wrote this letter, I do need to clarify something. What I mean is that Paul was the human author of this letter. But since this is scripture that we're talking about, I also need to affirm that God was directly involved in the creation of this text. At DFBC, we oftentimes talk about the Bible, about biblical texts having two authors, a big A author and a little A author. The little A author is the human author who wrote these texts. These writings that we study, they are the writings of human beings, but not just human beings. They're also the words of God for us. And so God is the big A author who is also directly involved in these writings. The book of Romans, just like the rest of the Bible, is directly inspired by God and written by human hands. And so what we have in the Bible are the exact words and all the words that God wants us to have. Well, this human author, Paul, wrote this letter that became a book because of a profound, life-changing event in his life. An event that transformed his understanding of the world, that changed the direction of his life, that gave him new purpose and perspective on everything. I mean, not unlike what firefighter Jorgensen experienced on 9/11. But rather than being molded by tragedy, Paul was transformed by glory. In fact, Paul was so changed by what happened to him that day that he spent the rest of his life teaching, preaching, and writing about it so that many others, including us, can be similarly transformed. Now, I know that some of you are already very familiar with the book of Romans. And because of your familiarity, it likely triggers certain thoughts or emotions for you. Maybe you've heard some really good sermons from this book that have been important in your life. Maybe your study of this book has altered or deepened your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe your personal reading of this book has left you with questions, significant questions, maybe even troubling questions that you want some answers to. For others of you, though, Romans may not mean a whole lot. It's just another book in the Bible, another in a list of names that you needed to memorize for Sunday school, or maybe for Awana. And if you're in that second group, then you're kind of like that person who was too young to really appreciate the impact that 9/11 has had on all of us. Because see, whether you realize it or not, a lot of what you've been taught about why Jesus came, why we needed him to come, why he died, why he lives again, why all of this matters, comes from the book of Romans. In fact, I'm not sure that it is even possible to overstate just how important Romans is to our life and faith as followers of Jesus. And so with this in mind, I want to get things started this morning by giving you three reasons why I think that you should care about this book of Romans that we're going to begin studying in these coming weeks. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to open to Romans chapter 1. Three reasons why I think that you should care about the book of Romans and our series in the book of Romans. You should care about Romans because it explains why the Apostle Paul's life changed so dramatically. Look at verse 1 in Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In the opening lines of this letter, this book, Paul identifies himself as a servant of Christ Jesus, who's been called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. But if you know Paul's story, then you know that Paul was not always a servant or follower of Jesus Christ. Paul, a Jewish man, he spent his younger years studying and training to be a Pharisee, a religious expert and practitioner of the Old Testament law. He was well-educated. He was ambitious. He was on the fast track to becoming an important Jewish religious leader in and around Jerusalem. Like many of the Pharisees of his day, he was suspicious of and resisted the teachings of Jesus. Even though a growing number of Jews were claiming that Jesus was this long-promised Messiah that God said that he would send to them, most of the Pharisees rejected this possibility outright. And that's because Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Yes, he performed miracles, but he also challenged some of their religious traditions. Jesus taught scripture with power and authority, but he also spent a lot of time with sinners and outcasts. He was a real problem for a while. But eventually the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem conspired with the Romans to have Jesus arrested, condemned, and executed. And that should have been the end of it. But then his followers started making these crazy claims that he'd risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. This Jesus movement just wouldn't die, metaphorically or literally. And so Paul, he took up the cause of helping to track down the followers of Jesus. He went about seeking Christians, having them arrested, even supervising their executions. He was zealous. He was very effective at this work. But then one day, something happened that dramatically changed his life. It's described for us in Acts chapter 9. And in this text, which I'm going to read to you, Paul here is referred to by his Jewish name, Saul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. That was the moment that Paul's life changed dramatically. The ground shifted underneath him. The world turned upside down around him. Jesus appeared to Paul, and Paul discovered that he was on the wrong side of everything that God was doing in the world. But rather than striking Paul down, Jesus gave Paul a new mission in life. Beginning that day, he was God's messenger. He was God's apostle to the Gentiles. On the road to Damascus, the church's greatest persecutor became its greatest missionary. How could such a change take place? How could the enemy of the church become the friend of Jesus? How could a man bent on destroying Christians come to willingly, joyfully risk his life for the sake of making Christians? How could a committed Pharisee become an apostle of the gospel who would go on to write significant parts of our New Testament? Well, the book of Romans explains how such a change can happen. In it, Paul lays out the theological foundation for this amazing miracle. The book of Romans is Paul's theological opus describing how God can redeem wretched, broken people like him and like us and transform them into Jesus-loving gospel messengers. And God can do this all the while, never violating his holiness nor his perfect justice. You should care about the book of Romans because it explains how and why God can dramatically change lives, including our own. The second reason that you should care about the book of Romans is that this God-inspired text speaks to some of our most pressing issues and questions today. Now, we actually don't know for sure when the church in Rome first began meeting. It might have started very early after Pentecost, if the visitors from Rome, highlighted in the text there, were among those who responded to Peter's preaching about Jesus and then brought this gospel message back to Rome, to home with them. Or it might have started by Gentile merchants and slaves or artisans who had heard the gospel elsewhere and then settled in Rome. But whether it was started by Jewish Christians or by Gentile Christians, it seems very likely that within a decade of Jesus' death and resurrection, there were Jewish and Gentile Christians meeting together for worship in Rome. But then complicating things, in about 49 AD, all Jews, Christian and otherwise, were expelled from the city of Rome. And suddenly, this mixed church community was reduced to Gentiles only. Well, 5 years later, when many of the Jewish Christians were able to return to the city and to the church struggled to figure out how to reintegrate their Jewish brothers and sisters. And while they all shared a commitment to Jesus, both the Jews and the Gentiles, they all shared a commitment to Jesus. Their cultures, their traditions, their life experiences, their expectations were very different. And so this led to internal conflict and tension within the church. But there were also external forces that they had to deal with. These Christians, they were a small minority in their city. They were out of step with the majority culture. Rome was a pagan city full of people who worshiped many other gods. The sexual ethic there was very permissive and approved of same-sex relationships. Life was cheap. Justice was harsh and not always terribly fair. Being a Christian in Rome wasn't easy. And though far removed from us in time and space, these words of God through Paul to the church in Rome speak to questions and issues that we are still wrestling with today. Things like, why do churches so often struggle with conflict? How should Christians navigate issues where there's genuine disagreement? What is the church's relationship to the state? What is the state's relationship to God? When should we submit? And when should we resist? What is the proper sexual ethic, Christian sexual ethic? How should we view homosexuality? And where does Jesus fit into this? More globally, how should we think about the nation of Israel today? Does the Jewish nation have a future with God? Has the church replaced Israel in the plan of God? More theologically, what does it mean to be saved? What changes for us when we are saved? What happens to those who don't hear about Jesus or who decide that following Jesus just isn't for them? How can God be just and forgive us? How can God be perfectly holy and relate to us who are so deeply broken? Now, you may not have wondered about all those questions, but you have likely thought about at least some of them. Or at least you should have. The book of Romans speaks to these questions and many more. So why should you care about the book of Romans? Because it speaks to some of our most pressing questions and issues today. Third reason that you should care about Romans is that it lays out the gospel for us in great detail. In the opening verse of Romans 1, Paul describes himself as set apart for the gospel of God. In the most general sense, this word gospel simply means a declaration of good news. But in this context, Paul is referring to a very specific declaration of good news, and that is this: the declaration that Jesus is the true rescuer king that the whole world needs and has been waiting for. See, this gospel is the most important and best news that this world has ever heard, even if significant parts of the world don't realize it. And the book of Romans gives us both the theological foundation and many of the practical implications of this good news. The first part of Romans explains why we need Jesus, why we all need Jesus, why the whole world needs Jesus. We live in a world captured by the powers of sin and death. That is why we are in the midst of a pandemic. That's why there's so much division in Washington and in our neighborhoods. That's why there's so much unrest in our cities. That's why there's so much cynicism and distrust and despair in our hearts. The first part of Romans helps us see and understand what is at the root of all of this brokenness and distress that we see and feel around us. The second part of Romans explains how Jesus is the answer and the only answer to our deepest need, how his life and his death and his resurrection all come together in order to meet that need. The book of Romans shows us that there are two distinctly different ways to live in this world. There's a way of brokenness and sin and futility, a way of living that Paul will call living in the flesh. But there's also another way of living that's shaped by redemption and forgiveness and hope, which Paul will call living in the Spirit. Paul explains how this works. He explains how we can choose this path and what kind of change it can bring about in our lives when we do. The third part of Romans is where Paul gets most practical. Paul applies the gospel to the world as it actually is, in all of its beauty, in all of its brokenness. We're going to learn about how to respond to conflict and disagreements in the church, how to view the government, how to relate to the state, how to respond to those who reject us, how to engage with those who would persecute us in ways that reflect our love and our loyalty to Jesus. You should care about Romans because it explains the best news that you will ever hear, the best news that this world has ever known. So here's your homework for the week. Read the book of Romans. Read it several times. Make note of what sticks out to you. Write down your questions. But most importantly, expect God to speak to you through it. Because see, these words of Paul to the church in Rome are also very much God's words to us today, as we seek to live faithfully in this beautiful but broken world. Let me pray as the worship team comes up.